Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke.
And you're here with us on season 3 of Teachers Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
Can you believe it?
Season 3, baby.
That's kind of surreal. I feel like we just started this and season 3 is already here.
Yeah. If you don't know, oh my gosh, y'all literally just started. We do our seasons by school years. So when we launched last March, season 1 was very short.
Yes.
It was from March to August. And then we wanted to catch up and do our seasons by school years because we are teachers.
Oh,
and
wow.
Our years are by teachers. I mean,
really?
Our years are by school years. Yes, they're by school years.
Yes.
So that's why you are here with us on season 3.
Yes. Season 3, episode 91?
This is 91.
91.
91.
Wow.
The 9 and the 1.
And then we got 9 episodes till 100. We got to figure out something big to do for 100. I haven't really thought about it, but that's a big milestone for us.
It really is.
That's
really crazy. Should do something. So if there's this case that you've been holding on to, let us know.
That you want us to cover for the big 100.
Big 100.
Hundo. Let us know and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
But with season 3, we have all these new funky fun things coming out. So, Brooke, do you want to tell them about the merch?
So, we do have new merch. We have merch that is representing more me and Ashley's style and some of the catchphrases. And it is going to be made by Mary.
Mary!
So Mary is going to have her Instagram be a shop. So Instagram shop. And we're going to share that link through that. And I'm going to help her with shipping and not the making of things because that's not what I do. She is the talent with that. So she is going to have that up and going. Ashley made us a very cute design with one of the catchphrases. Mary was working on some stuff. And then we have our classic logo. We still have our pencil knife.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we still have some of the classic stuff. But Mary's going to definitely have us a lot of cute, comfort-colored shirts and long sleeves and all the things. And hopefully a trucker hat because that's what I want her to do. And she hates doing those because she says they're horrible to make. But
I want
a trucker hat.
And also, Brooke is giving me too much credit. I did not make the design. I sure didn't. I tried to make the design for over a year and failed every single time. Every single time. It just did not look right. And I did not want it to look the way that I was making it. So I did find an Etsy seller to make us a graphic that we are going to use on our merch. And it looks fire.
It's so cute.
I want it in every color. I want it everywhere.
It's a must buy.
It's 100%. Like I could see it being on a tie-dye shirt.
Ooh.
All big on the back, a long sleeve, like come on, or a crew neck. Stop playing with me. I love me a crew neck.
Mm-hmm.
I do need a new white crew neck because my other one got pretty ratchet.
We wore it a lot.
100%.
Yeah.
So I need a new Mary.
Yup, Mary. So
I need a new Joan.
Me and Mary have been on some business calls. Obviously, I'm going to help her with the shipping and stuff. So, you know, be patient on the first trial run. She is so talented. The merch itself is going to be great.
100%.
We are just doing things. And we also have a
Patreon coming to you soon.
We do. And we have some really cool things that we've been like thinking on and brainstorming on. Ashley, you want to give them a little hint?
Oh, 100%. A hint, or can
well,
I just
Well, just go ahead and tell them, yeah.
All right, so our Patreon is going to be like different letters of the alphabet that stand for different things. For example, we have C is for conspiracies. As you know, Brooke's husband, James, is obsessed with conspiracies. So it won't be one of us bringing you the case. It will be Jamesy Poo bringing us the case.
He's so excited, and he is. We're just going to sit there and listen, and we're going to either agree with him or we're going to disagree with him. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to reel him back in because he gets a little crazy when you bring up a conspiracy. I mean, the one he's on right now is that Hawaii is a conspiracy. The fires in Hawaii are a conspiracy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I would love to hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also like to hear about aliens because I'm convinced that I'm a date one.
You might have already dated one.
I mean, some of them acted really alienistic. I'm not even going to lie. So it's a possibility, girl. It's a possibility. But we have C is for conspiracies. We also have we're going to do a book club. So B is for book club. And what we're going to do is we're going to offer those who subscribe for that subscription. We will give you a schedule of the book we're reading and, you know, plan it out, like what chapters to read. And then we haven't figured out the consistency yet, but we're going to do like a Zoom call. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's going to come. You could bring your beverages, you know, and we're just going to talk about the chapters that we read. And you guys can get to know us like more on a personal level, more intimate, if you will. So I'm really excited about that. I've already finished the book that we chose for our book club. So I'm going to have to read it again to brush up my brain.
And I'm over halfway, and I'm just like, I have to put it down every chapter and take a breather.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's
crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
And then we have K for Killer Meals.
Yay.
And this is going to be video. So Ashley and I bought the Killer Meals cookbook, which is a synopsis of all the cases and inmates on death row and what their last meal was before they were executed. And we're going to recreate the meals on YouTube when we're together. So those would not be as consistent. Like those would be only when we're together. And as y'all know, that's probably once a month, every 2 months. I try to fly up there. So we're going to do that. We have the cookbook already. It's super cute. Mm-hmm. If you want to get it on Amazon, we'll obviously share it with y'all. But that's that one. And then the last one is, Ashley's going to tweak this one. This is kind of what we're working with, is In for News. And it's more or less the cases that you guys send us that happened like negative 2 days ago, that are just not a lot of out there, but we want to bring them to you. And there's just not enough to make a full episode. So it would be like the Maui fires right now, you know, things like that. Or
Definitely the case that someone sent with the sister who either, I think she stabbed her little brother.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. I think that was in like Illinois or Idaho or something like that. That one. So just things like that, like just related, you know, we can do some popular things like Brooke said, like the Hawaii fires, and also like some true crime cases that you guys send us that are like, oh my gosh, this happened in my hometown like yesterday. And there's just like literally the title and the little bit of information they know about it, just so to put it on your radar, make you guys aware, because we do know that you do enjoy when we cover cases that, you know, other podcasts have covered. And well, not, I said that wrong. I misspoke. You like our episodes that, you know, not a lot of podcasts have covered to learn about new things. So we're trying to just, you know, give you some more things.
We are. So that is four things so far that would be brand new to Teachers Talk Crime. Now,
yes.
if we decide, we haven't really decided what we're going to move over to our Patreon that we currently do. So that might be our teacher stories. It might be our teacher chats. It definitely would not be our happy hours. Y'all are still going to get those. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're going to have all of this coming to you guys, and just keep up on socials. If it's not already out there on the social, just keep up with that. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be a part of our season 3.
Yep. New things coming. New things mm-hmm. coming. New merch. New content. You know, same teachers.
Yeah. Who taught crime?
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
But also, I forgot to tell y'all. If y'all have seen the live that me and Whitney were on when I was at the tattoo shop, your girl is tatted now.
Tatted up.
I am. My tattoo is super itchy at this point. Like, I have to keep putting coconut oil on it so yeah. I don't scratch it off my skin, because it's at that point right now.
Is it peeling?
Not very minimally. It's not peeling a lot, but like, the itching is just what's killing mm-hmm. me, because I know that could just jack it up and I'm supposed to let it, you know, do its thing on its own. So if you haven't seen, I did post it on our Instagram story, but it's also posted on my TikTok. It is my family's birth flower arrangement. So I have my birth flower, Skylin, Aria's, my mom, my dad's, and my sister. And it is just so beautifully arranged. I had it drawn on Etsy for me, and I did that about a year ago, and I just finally found a tattoo artist to bring my vision to life, and it looks exactly like the picture, like to a T. He recommended white highlights in it, and the white highlights really make it pop, so I could not be any more happy. I could not be any more happy with his work. So if you guys are in the Delaware, Jersey, what's the other one? Delaware,
even
Jersey,
Philly.
Yep, Philly area. His Instagram name is, hold on, I'm going to find it for you, because he is so talented and I want to give him all his flowers because I keep staring at these damn flowers all the time. But his Instagram is, where's my Instagram app? I can't even find it. This is crazy. It is, hold the line. I'm getting there. I promise. So quickly. I'm running, but not running. Oh my gosh. Here we go. His Instagram is TurkoSkinnoo. So Turkoskinnoo.
It sounded great.
I think I sounded it out. So I'm going to say that that's it. We'll definitely tag him in the show notes if you want to go look at his work. Because mine is fantastic.
It really does look really good.
Thank you so much.
It really does.
And my dad wasn't even as mad as I thought he would be about my first tag, because he's always like, don't defile your body. And I think because it is so meaningful, he's like okay with it, because he's like kind of.
And then what's he really gonna do?
Child, he still gives me crap about my nose ring. So like, I know I'm gonna get crap, because for example, the girls and I went to the circus on Sunday, and he was like, so are you gonna perform? Are you gonna be the person with the most tattoos? And I said, Dad, I have one tattoo.
Singular one.
Even though I'm already planning my next one.
See, they get addicted.
One didn't hurt that much. So, like, I would say a max, it was like a 5, like, for the majority of the time.
Okay.
Some spots were like an 8, but it was for like a second or two. It just gave
Did
me a
they
little
put
jolt.
The numbing cream on it?
Not at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a new thing.
Yeah. And it, I sat there, I was on live chatting, laughing while he was just like, yeah, 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 yeah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Did Whitney get hers?
You know damn well she ain't getting no daggone tattoo.
She did not know. Did she think about it the whole time, though?
No. Like, she was worried before. Like, she was worried for me. She was like, oh, my God, I'm starting to sweat. I'm getting so nervous. I said, girl, you're not doing anything.
You're just standing like, there.
You were just here for moral support. But it was 10 out of 10. Also, shout out to Delaware Duke. Delaware Duke Party Rentals. If you need a guy for party rentals, he does the inflatables. Delaware Duke is your guy, okay? I'm just giving everybody their flowers today.
What did he do?
He was just there. He was Oscar's friend. So he
was just there.
He was just there.
I got you. I'm with it now. I'm following it. I'm following you.
Okay. He's hilarious. But Delaware Duke Party Rentals, hit him up for your kids' birthday parties.
All right. Love it. Yeah. Well, that is our big news. If you didn't see by the title, this is also our second two-part episode.
Nada's going back to back.
So, you got part one of Ashley's episode last week. We're starting season three with my part one. Come back next week for Ashley's finisher, part two. And then you'll get my part two to finish up the case.
Okay. Okay.
So there will be a gap between each episode. So you might need a synopsis, but don't worry. We will wrap around. We'll do a wrap around.
We'll do a wrap around
for you before we jump into the episodes.
Sure will.
Do you have our
Estudiante Estrella? I sure do. And our star student this week is Bailey.Emma16.
Bailey.Emma16.
Sure.
You have like
is.
Two first names. I love that.
That's fun. That's a good time.
Yeah.
I wonder if Emma's her middle name.
Or what if it's her last name?
That would be different.
What a fun last name.
Right? You could like fool people and be like, I'm Emma Bailey, Bailey Emma.
They would fine. Never know.
Never know. Mm-mm. But Bailey Emma 16's review is titled, Yas Queen.
Yas.
And you already know it's 5 stars.
Pew, 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 pew.
You did so good with that.
I counted them on my fingers.
And Bailey Emma's review reads, wow, these girls are so good at what they do, whether it's teaching in a classroom or through their podcast. I love listening to them explain each crime. It is like you are just sitting down with them, just talking like you would a bestie, which I now consider them to be mine because I wish we could be. Now I quote them like crazy, Estudiante Estrella, and sit down, shut up, the murder is about to begin, are my favorite ones. Girls, thank you for what you do. Keep being you because we love it.
Oh, that was so sweet.
I love that.
I love that too. That was a really good review. Thank you, Bailey Emma 16.
Yes, Bailey Emma 16. You did that, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bailey Emma 16, I thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. Bing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you guys saw, this is a two-parter. So, it gets a little long, and I'm sure I'm going to mess up a lot, and I still have to shower. So, we're going to jump right into it.
Okay, okay.
Sit down, shut up. Season 3's first murder is about to begin.
Ahora.
Guys, this case took me over a week to write.
Dang.
This case was submitted to us by my husband.
Dang, Jamesy Pooh, why you do us like that?
Oh, it is. Oh, it's rough. I need you guys to buckle up. Like, it's rough. And like, me and James were talking about this case. We were debating it the other night, you know, going back and forth and just like it. It's a doozy. I just want you guys to know, like, I'm going to give one massive trigger warning because it's a doozy. I'm also going to give you the smaller, but very, very important trigger warnings now. So, this case involves kidnapping of a child, torture of a child, mutilation of a child, murder of a child, mentions of sexual photos of a child, mentions of sexual assault on a child, talks of abuse on multiple children.
This is really, you just came out the gate with this one for season three, huh?
It's rough.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's get into it. James Patrick Bulger was born on March 16, 1990, and was 2 years old at the time of his death. James was from Kirby, England, and lived with his parents, Ralph and Denise. The couple were no strangers to tragedy, which makes this case all the more heartbreaking because prior to the death of James and before James was even born, the couple were pregnant with a daughter who they lost and was born as a stillborn.
Oh, hate that.
I know. But when James came along, he was perfect. Denise said he was perfect. She called every 15 minutes, literally was always checking in with her doctor's appointment. If she even sneezed the wrong way, she was calling her doctor to make sure James was born perfect.
I know that's right. That's how I was with the twins.
Mm-hmm. James was healthy, adorable, and the couple's entire world. James had big blue eyes and light brown hair. He was described as a smiling kid who was very bubbly. Denise adored her son. At just the age of 25 years old, when she had him, she became a mama bear. And rightfully so. You lost a child. You gave birth to the child that you lost, and then you had James. So, like, protective instinct mode kicked in, right? But within a 4-minute routine, normal, safe trip to the mall before James's third birthday, it would change England and Denise and Ralph forever.
Oh.
Denise and James accompanied a family member to the Bottle Strand Shopping Center on Friday, February 12th, 1993. Now, before I go any further, Denise came from an exceptionally large family, like 13 siblings, like very large family. So when James was born, Denise stayed home and she was had this little routine, and she got up and her and Ralph put James in the stroller every day, and they walked to their relative's house and they would all hang out and then they would stroll back home. Well, on this particular day, she had done exactly that. They loaded up James in the stroller. They strolled on down to the relative's house. Now, one of the female relatives also had a child. I think it was her fiance's child, so it wasn't like her biological child, but regardless, she was like, hey, Denise, like, I've got to go run some errands. Like, do you and James want to go? Get out of the house. I won't be very long.
Okay.
And Denise was like, yeah, yeah, sounds great. That sounds good. So Denise and them were loading up the car, and Denise decided in that instinct that she was not going to take the stroller because her relative said, well, then we wouldn't have room for the groceries and all the other items if we took two strollers. And Denise says that is one of the biggest regrets on her list of regrets when it comes to that day. Because had Denise taken the stroller, which is not Denise's fault, we're not blaming Denise. I'm just stating what Denise wrote in her book. She said that had she taken the stroller and strapped James in, that maybe none of this would have happened. So, on Friday, February 12th, 1993, they loaded up and went to the Strand Shopping Center. The kids had kind of reached their limit, as kids do when you're running errands, but there was one errand left to do. Denise made her final stop at the butcher shop. She placed her order, and when she pulled her wallet out to pay, she let go of James's hands. She momentarily told him to stay put. She was distracted not even for a minute, and by the time she looked down, James was gone.
Nobody saw nothing.
Oh, you just wait.
I just don't understand. I just don't understand things like that, because like, why he not making no noise? Like,
exactly.
That hurts me as a mother. This hurts me.
Oh, it gets so much worse.
My heart is already on edge.
I know. The timestamps on CCT footage shows her looking away to pay, and exactly 1 minute later, it shows James exiting the store.
By himself?
Yes.
Oh, James.
Denise instantly panicked and ran out of the store to ask her family member if they had seen James. She wrote in her book that she at that moment had two options in front of her, to run left or to run right. She chose left. And to this day, she says that is her biggest what if she lives with. If she had gone right, she would have seen her son exiting the Strand. The police were called, but only after the security staff failed to locate James. She described him to everyone she was coming into contact with, yelling, "Have you seen my son? Have you seen my son? Where's James? Have you seen James?" Denise was literally hysterical. Her book even stated that one woman stopped her and tried to make her sit down and have a cup of coffee because she looked stressed.
My child is missing. If you don't take, get your coffee and shove it somewhere else. Here's the thing. I appreciate you trying. I do appreciate that. You know, noticing the situation and trying to calm me down. My child is missing.
My literal child.
Like, the time that I take sitting here drinking this coffee is time that's not going to finding my child.
Exactly.
Which is number one priority at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So respectfully, ma'am, you drink my coffee, I'm gonna go find my kid.
Yeah. Another woman and bystanders stopped her, and she was like, "Have you seen James? Have you seen James? He's wearing this. Have you seen my son?" And they informed her, "He's here. Kids wander off all the time in the mall."
Please cut it all the way out. Mm-hmm. My children are six. They are six, and I still have those wrist things that when we go into big things, you're strapped to me. I don't care. People, you look at me how you want. Because if you snatching them, you're snatching me too. It's a 3-for-1 special, okay?
And I'm not going down lightly.
I know that is correct. Like, don't play with me. Like, what do you mean there's kid? That makes me sick.
Mm-hmm.
I would have punched that person in their face. I'm sorry. I would have literally punched them.
Just like, bop, get out of my way.
And I'm not a violent person. I would have punched them. Mm-hmm. Point blank, period.
Ashley doesn't normally get this worked up. Like, we're not even into this, but she is Mama Bear, and this case is going to affect her. I'm telling you.
I'm already like, okay, well, where was I supposed to go with my children tomorrow? All right, we strapped up. Like, point blank, period. Like,
Now, although Denise now reflects back and she sees that these people were just trying to help, they were trying to calm her down, they were trying to ease the stress off of her, she wouldn't stop looking for James. She told people he was wearing a blue jacket with a hood and mustard-colored lining in the jacket, along with silver tracksuit bottoms and white sneakers. Mm-hmm. By 4 p.m., they knew it was serious when they still had not located James and the stores were beginning to close. When the hours kept ticking on, the police knew they had to give answers. So the police and the security staff started sifting through hours of CCTV footage. They are relieved when they finally find footage of baby James leaving the butcher shop just as they had suspected. They also see that moments after James is seen exiting the store, Denise leaves the shop. And as I mentioned earlier, she goes left to the around to the ground floor. But unfortunately, James had taken a right and was now on the top floor. And it appeared as though he was following two young boys. No older than 13 years old. The CCTV footage of the two boys shows one of the boys holding James's hand they were all heading towards the exit in the direction of the Leeds-Liverpool Canal. When the police informed Denise of this, instant relief hit her when she heard that. Even Ralph, her husband, looked at Denise and said, "See, Denise, he's fine. He's with other kids." Denise was thinking, "Oh my gosh, James is safe. He's just with some other boys. They clearly found him wandering around and he'll soon be returned to me. They're probably in a treehouse playing video games." However, as we now know, a perfect world does not exist. But no one, not even Denise, not even the police, could prepare for what actually happened after the boys were last seen leaving the Strand shopping center. Saturday passes and there is still no sign of James. Denise is so upset she has to be asked to leave the police station. She did not leave the police station from Friday to now Saturday. They had to force her to leave.
Child, I would have still been up in there. You're not telling me to leave. You're gonna have to arrest me. I'm staying here. Lock me up. Find my goddamn kid.
Yeah. So once she leaves, she then calls the police station every 15 minutes like clockwork asking for updates.
Let's go, Denise.
They have to be as kind as they possibly can, and the police informed her that they will let her know as soon as they know something. And I can't blame her. Like, she didn't know what to do.
I would literally karate chop them.
Yeah.
Like, full-blown karate chop. Like, I get it, like, you're doing everything you can, but, like, what you fail to realize is that this is my child.
My baby.
My baby. Like, I lost the last one. Mm-hmm. This is my child. Mm-hmm. I need my child. Find him.
So if I have to call every 5 minutes, I will.
Child, I would have been right outside sitting on the curb like.
Yep.
What's up?
Bring me a cot.
Mm-hmm. Don't play with me. I sleep right in the car.
Well, speaking of that, Denise said in her book that she did not sleep or eat. And every time she laid down in her bed, she said that she made herself get up because the thought of enjoying anything that brought her comfort didn't feel fair if James wasn't doing the same thing.
I know that's right. I know that is right.
So if y'all have not, like, Denise is like ace number one mom. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it also didn't help that a whole campground of media were now posted outside of Denise's house.
Of course they were.
Hours of the night and day. Denise wrote in her book that she believes they were waiting on that money shot, that photo that would give them the big payout.
100%.
Would they catch Denise? Like, she even said, like, were they trying to catch me and my husband not crying so they could post it on the front of the magazine? Or were they trying to catch us distraught and hysterical so they could post it? She was like, it was absolutely ridiculous.
Like, I completely understand, you know, getting your money. But if you're making money that way, you are a disgusting human being. You are praying for people's downfalls to get the most unflattering picture, the most anything to skew their image in the public. And you're okay with that? Like, you're a different kind of scumbag if you do that for a living. Like, that is just horrendous.
Mm-hmm. Now, clearly, Denise was going stir crazy. And a female officer took note of this. And she thought, maybe Denise felt helpless, and she did. So the female officer offered to drive Denise around on Saturday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, 1993, to look for James. Denise loaded into the cop car, and they began riding around. And then a call comes in.
Oh.
The police officer picks up the call, and Denise can hear on the other end someone saying, come back to the station immediately and turn your radio off.
Oh, I know her heart just fell. I know it sank.
So, Denise only caught a clip of what was said, but was ecstatic because this was news about James. She knew it had to be. So, she goes to the police station with this officer and she sits there. Yes. And she sits there and she sits there and she sits there. And she's like, I don't understand. I don't understand. Why is no one telling me that James is okay? Like, why am I just sitting here? Where is James? He's going to bebop in any minute. He's going to come in. He's going to say, mommy, he's going to hug me. Like, he's coming into this police station.
Yes.
James did not come into the police station. As I mentioned, it was now 2 days since James had gone missing. And the police, along with his family, had done everything they could to find him. Police cars had used loudspeakers to make announcements throughout the streets. Press conferences were being held, and people were begging the two boys seen in the CCTV footage to come forward and bring baby James home. But on the day that Denise got into that police car to go look for her baby, hope went out the window. Because little did she know that a group of teenage boys were running into the nearby police station, not the one she was at, frantically saying they found a baby's body on the railroad tracks.
Not a babe.
So, the police station that Denise was located at, she sat there and she sat there and she sat there. And in her book, she says a police officer came up, knelt down beside her, and just said, I'm sorry. Now, the police station the teenage boys had ran into, it was located 150 yards out the back of the police station. That's where the train tracks were. What was then discovered horrified the nation, and it made international headlines. police even limited the amount of officers allowed at the crime scene due to the graphics of the body and the scene itself.
Absolutely not.
Detectives had to seek counseling for what they saw. This left so many traumatized that worked on this case long after it was solved. Now, trigger warning, I'm about to talk about what happened to James, and I just need y'all to know it is graphic.
Mm-hmm.
So please be warned.
Mm-hmm.
James was found dead on the railroad tracks, and his body had been severed by a train into two halves.
Oh.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's not even the worst part.
Mm-mm.
So, the CCTV footage had now made its way around everywhere. A mom even called in and told officers that she thought her son had been the one to kill baby James.
What?
But it turned out that was not the case. Now, what happened was, is she accused her son of this.
Mm-hmm.
The media got a hold of it, and they rioted. They wanted blood.
Oh, 100%.
This family ended up having to move because of the torture, even though it was proven that the boy didn't do it. Now, I don't know why this mom did that. Maybe she cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but regardless, it wasn't this kid.
Well, maybe she had an inkling. Maybe he, like, had some of the signs, like he killed animals and stuff. And she
maybe.
Was like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that must have been so devastating for her to even contact, like, I think it was my child. That, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, as a mother, like, you never want that for your child or mm-hmm. anything. Like, finding out that they did something, like, bad in school or something. Like, you never... You don't, as a mother. So I just know that was probably so hard for her to just,
mm-hmm.
even though that's your baby, like you did something so wrong. And yeah.
And you got, unfortunately, pay those consequences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then, after that whole ordeal where they had a false, you know, tip, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you'd call it. Another woman saw the grainy images, recognized the boys, and identified them as Robert Thompson and John Venables. They were known as troublemakers. And weirdly enough, wouldn't you have it, Ashley, the school confirmed that the boys had not shown up the day baby James was taken.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't until February 18th, 1993, when an arrest was officially made. The boys were to give a blood, hair, and fingernail sample. Now, this was going to be very hard for police because these were minors and one slip up could cost them their whole case.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so they had to be by the book 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen that so many times. Like, you know, the defense is like, well, you questioned my witness without a guardian. 100%. So,
yeah,
you know, so both of the boys had their mothers present with them as their legal representation because mm-hmm. that's by the books.
Yep.
John Venables was your typical 10-year-old boy.
I know a 10-year-old did not do this to this little baby. Mm.
Now, here's the problem. The police, even when they were interrogating the boys, did not believe they had the right boys because they had released footage to the public telling the public that these were teenagers. To be on the lookout for teenagers, because who would think that mm-hmm. a 10-year-old boy could do this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what happened. So John Venables was very typical. He was acting as a 10-year-old should, being interrogated by the police.
Mm-hmm.
He was hysterical. He was crying. He was screaming. He was scared. He was shaking. Now, Robert Thompson, also 10 years old, was the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Robert was controlled, calculated, composed, thought through his responses throughout the whole ordeal. Mm. He even earned himself in the police station with a nickname of the boy who did not cry.
I don't like that.
It's eerie, isn't it?
I just think it's really crazy how you have one kid on the other hand who's literally like losing himself and is like crying, screaming, scared, terrified, angry. And then you have this other boy who is just so calm, cool, and collected, knowing daggone well that you took part in the death of this little boy. Like, that is some type of... That is really some type of crazy. You know what I mean? Like, and that's scary.
It is.
Yeah. That's very scary because, like, I would love to know his upbringing. I would love to know how he was in school. Like, I need to know all of these things because, like... Is this a nature versus nurture type thing? Like, I have so many questions.
Mm-hmm. And for them to act completely different, like total opposites. Mm-hmm. Now, as we know, because we have seen it all before, the boys were doing the classic, well, he made me do it. He did it. They were blaming each other. John even asked at one point in the interrogation, quote, "Can you get fingerprints off skin?" And that's when the police knew that they were almost to the truth of what happened to baby James. And in that moment, the police knew they, in fact, had the right boys.
Yeah.
John, once the police were able to get him to talk, he revealed that it was their intention to find a child and to throw the child into the path of an oncoming bus or taxi so that the death would look like an accident.
What?
John even said after confessing, "I did kill him. What about his mom? Will you tell her I'm sorry?"
What about his mom?
Yeah. James's mom.
You're sorry?
Mm-hmm.
Are you...
Mm-hmm.
It would have taken everything in my soul
not to come through that glass
and slap him. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't sleep for days.
Yeah, didn't
eat.
I had
to be kicked out of the police station.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beating myself about everything I coulda, shoulda, woulda done to prevent this from happening, and you're just gonna nonchalantly be like, "What about his mom? Can you tell her?" Take that sorry and put it somewhere that the sun don't shine.
Yep.
Like, the audacity.
So at trial, it was revealed that the killers took James on a 2.5-mile walk through the city that day. The whole journey took 1 hour and 15 minutes to complete. James is two. He walked
probably so tired.
2.5 miles?
Exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just walked 5 miles today in 86 degree weather. And I'm exhausted as a 33-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine this little baby with his little teeny tiny legs. And he's probably like, "Can we stop? Thirsty." Mm-hmm. They're probably just dragging him along like, "Come on, little boy." Oh, I hate this. I hate this so much.
What I'm really surprised you didn't ask is they walked through the city.
Like, nobody saw him.
Okay. We're going to get into that. Because I was like, what do you mean they just walked through the city? Like, what? So, as they were walking through the city, they were bullying and taunting and oftentimes seen hitting and kicking baby James.
Oh, so people saw. People saw. And didn't say nothing. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to get into that too. The boys originally had planned to have James look into the canal once they got there at his reflection, and as he was doing so, they had planned to push him in. Now, when James did not want to do that, he began to ask for his mom and cry, which Robert, during interrogation, mimicked James crying.
I do not like this.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
At all. This is infuriating.
Oh, yeah. So one of the boys then picked baby James up and slammed him down on the ground, giving him his first of over 40 head wounds.
Mm-hmm. Like, what is wrong with these children? Mm-hmm. You are 10 years old. Why do you have this much anger in your body?
And why do you want to take it out on a 2-year-old?
Like, whoever hurt you, it wasn't James.
Yeah.
So you're directing your anger at the wrong things?
Mm-hmm. Mm. A woman passing by even noticed James, but did nothing, thinking it must not have been what she was seeing. They then led James to the railroad tracks very close to where Robert Thompson actually lived. And on the walk there, they passed over 38 witnesses, shop owners, passerbyers, and even classmates.
So at this point in time, it wasn't like brought to the public's attention, right?
Well, they were still searching the mall. They thought okay. He was still in the mall.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, oh, this little boy is missing. Everybody's seeing this little boy and does not say anything. They were just like, oh, these boys are just having fun and goofing around with this little. You don't act that way towards a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. So whether, like, regardless or not, if I think you're siblings, you shouldn't put your hands on them like that. Mm-hmm. Why are you touching him that way? Why are you kicking him? Why does he look upset?
So exactly what you said. So they ended up passing, and we're going to talk about some of these like that testified at trial and stuff, but they passed by their classmates, and their classmates was like looking at James because he had this head wound already on his head, like from where
they're just prodding him around with this head wound.
Yes.
So everybody can see it and no one is asking questions because I assume it's bleeding.
So okay. The classmates are like, Robert, John, who's this little baby y'all got with you? And they're like, oh, it's our brother. And all, like, the classmates literally went, we didn't even know you had a brother.
Because you don't.
That small. Yeah, like, they were so confused. Then one woman, she stopped and asked why he was crying and what was upset. But here's the thing is, as the boys were walking with James, they would purposely make comments like out loud, like, oh, we're going to tell mom when you get home. Oh, you're being such a little baby. Why did we get you as a baby brother? So like they were trying to like play it off as like James was their brother.
Wow.
So that's less suspicious because they're with their brother. Right. Wow. Well, then one woman with her daughter, she stopped and the boys told her a different story. They told her that he was lost and they had found him and they were on their way to take him to the police station. Well, the woman was like, which this part makes no sense, but this is what she testified. The woman was like, actually, I'll take him to the police station. And so she asked a random woman on the street if she could watch her daughter while she took this little boy to the police station. And the woman goes, no, my dog doesn't like children. I'm sorry. And so the woman said, oh, okay, well, just make sure he gets to the police station. Make it make sense.
Why couldn't you take your child
and the little boy
to the police station?
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does not make sense.
It doesn't.
At all.
So around 5:45 p.m., the boys arrived at the train tracks and began torturing James. And 45 minutes later, he was dying and the boys walked away. They threw blue paint on baby James and in his eyes that they had stolen from the mall earlier that day. They kicked him and bludgeoned him with multiple weapons, including a 22-pound iron bar and bricks. Mm-mm. They threw stones at him and they stuffed batteries into his mouth.
Mm-mm.
They suspect that there was a sexual element to the torture because his shoes, pants, and underwear had been removed.
Mm-mm.
James was left with 10 skull fractures, 42 injuries to the face, head, and body.
Mm-mm.
Forensics said that there was no way to tell which injury actually represented the fatal one. That is how bad baby James had been beaten. They then placed baby James on the railroad tracks with bricks on top of him so that he could not move and left him there so that the train would not see him. And they hoped that the train would hit him and make his death look like an accident. And that is what they did to baby James.
I
have no words.
I really... That is the most malicious thing. Mm-hmm. And for you to carry out this act at 10 years old, bro, absolutely not. No way.
John, I can't remember if it was John. I think it was John. John said they had one moment before climbing up the embankment to the railroad tracks where they stopped and debated letting James go.
And what made you not let him go?
And that's going to remain the question until we get to part two.
Wait, what? That's where you gonna stop today?
I'm gonna stop.
Wow, that's very disrespectful.
It is.
Wow.
It's, y'all, there's a lot. We're gonna get into, that part is so brutal and it makes you so angry. But when I tell you just like everything that happened afterwards and just the disrespect that James's family got, oh, it's disgusting.
I feel like they're going to do some stupid shit. Oh, excuse my French. Like, oh, well, you should have kept a better watch on him. Shut up. Shut up.
But speaking of the leashes, like, well, they are leashes.
Because I don't consider them leashes, because I consider the leashes like the one that's the backpack and it literally has a thing. You know, like mine are like literally wristlets. It's like a really long, like coiled, not a rope. I don't know what kind of material it is. But my end has a key. So like when I lock the girls in, I'm the only one able to unlock it because I have the key. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Well, what I was saying was, like, the Saturday that James's body was discovered, the sales in those items skyrocketed. Like, they said that England, you could not find a child that was not on one of those.
100%.
It was...
100%.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised at all, because that alone, like, granted... There are some times where if we're like in and out of a store, it's I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of a hassle to put on. You know what I mean? Like, I got two kids, I gotta do mine. I usually strap mine up first and then I get them one at a time. It's a lot. So sometimes if we're not gonna be in the store very long, I don't do it. And now this has just changed my entire perspective. And it will be any time that we are out in public. No matter if there's two people or 5,000 people. You will be strapped to my body.
Well, it's just like, it's so frustrating because, you know, Denise literally thought that her baby was safe because her baby was with kids.
And it's like, you can't even trust them, bro.
Right.
You can't. You can literally trust no one.
She was like, oh, they're just playing video games. Like, oh, they're just, the kids found him and they're going to return him to a police station. Like, he's going to pop up. Like, they're with kids.
That's so terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
That you can literally trust no one.
Yeah.
Ah, that hurts me. That hurts my stomach. That hurts my heart. That hurts everything.
Well, part two is going to make you even more mad.
I imagine, because I'm already fuming.
Yeah. So catch us next week. Will be Ashley's part two, and then we'll be back for my part two the following week. And as always, we will give you a synopsis so you don't miss a thing. But, you know, you can always come back and listen for a second time if you think you're going to forget something.
Yeah, even though I wouldn't run this back.
Yeah, this one.
This one is brutal.
It's a tough one.
Like, I'm actually kind of glad that I'm not editing podcasts at this point in time, because I don't think I could re-listen to this. 100%.
And I left a... So, unfortunately, I know the, like, even more details because I just did so much research. Yeah, I read her book. Denise's book is I Let Him Go. And the title alone is just heartbreaking. Wow. It's literally heartbreaking. The fact that the title is I Let Him Go. Mm-hmm. And she blames herself. I mean, as any mom would do, I'm sure.
100%.
But, you know, I know the details to the sexual part of it. And it is just, I left those out because even giving trigger warnings, it's not needed. You guys can understand what this baby went through without all those details.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that because I hug my children a little bit tighter tomorrow.
As you should. Mm-hmm. That is part one of the James Bulger case. And I hope you come back for part two. If you don't, I can't say I would blame you.
Child, I don't even want to come back. I'm not.
And you're on the podcast.
I know. Like, I'm like, can I call in sick or something?
Can I get a sub?
Like, come on. I'm not feeling too well. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even want to say thanks.
You shouldn't.
You know, you brought part of that to us. So
I did. I did.
So, as always, the bell don't dismiss you.
Oh, we do.
So we'll see you next time for my part deuce.
Bye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows you don't want to sacrifice reliability for savings. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select LG appliances and purchase two or three select major appliances to get an additional 10% off. Save big on LG, America's most reliable line of home appliances at Lowe's. Based on independent reliability surveys 2021 to 2024 and select major appliances as compared to competing manufacturers offering full appliance lines. See associate for more details. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Exclusions apply. Valid 6/18 through 7/9.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.